Hello, Voltron fans, and welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Voltron After Show. Tonight we are covering Season 2, Episodes 9 and 10, The Belly of the Weblum and Escape from Beta Traz. We have a very special guest with us tonight, so team, it's time to form Voltron.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I have to say thank you to Megan for this one. I could not come up with a single song, and she's like, hey!
Yeah, I was going to say... Oh, go ahead. No, I was going to say, this is confusing for anybody who's just listening right now, because, like, we're all dancing, and it's beautiful, but, like, if you're just listening, you miss that, and you're like, why are they just awkwardly sitting in silence?
They're also missing the glorious light show that we just had.
I know.
Of our yellow lion.
Thanks, Mark.
I was expecting Mark to say something there.
Nope,
and that
did not
occur. All right, great. Awesome.
Happened.
Thank you, Mark.
Oh, there he is. I heard him.
All right, well, welcome back to the Voltron AfterBuzz TV After Show. Thank you for joining us again this week. We are obviously having a grand old time here. All right. We are looking at Season 2, Episodes 9 and 10, The Belly of the Weblum and Escape from Beta Traz. And the latter was one of my favorite episodes this season, so I am stoked to talk about it. With me tonight, I have Red Lion, Emma Fife.
That's me. My name is Emma Fife. Emma Fife is also my Twitter handle.
Blue Lion, Alexis Torres.
Hello, you can find me at atorres890.
Add Red Blue Lion Eskin to it, man. Green Lion, Megan Salinas.
Hey, guys, you can tweet at me at the Mangum. That's T-A-G-M-E-N-G-U-I-N.
And I'm Black Lion, Katie Cullen. You can find me on the Twitters at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. We have the live chat going if you're watching live on YouTube. We have the hashtag on Twitter, ABTVVoltron, if you have any questions. If you have any comments for our very special guest, put them there. You may well get a shout out.
Yay.
And joining us tonight, we have series writer Mitch Iverson.
Hello.
Yay. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me. This is really fun.
We think so too.
And our live studio audience is
I know,
so excited.
They're so excited.
Yeah. You are the live studio audience.
I am.
Now, Mitch, if Wikipedia is to be believed, you wrote Escape from Beta Traz.
I did.
Yes. See, you can believe everything you read on the internet.
I also wrote this lovely comic that you can see on the one shot.
Tim Hedrick and I wrote that together, yes.
Beautiful. It's wonderful, and you should go support your local comic shop by picking it up and buying it and then reading it.
Yes.
Seriously, I enjoyed the heck out of it. Y'all will too. So let's swing right into this. We have the beginnings of our plan to take down Zarkon. Because, you know, last time worked super well, so we're going to try it again.
Listen, this time they have a very, like, thorough plan, though.
Very complicated three-pronged plan with a lot of moving parts.
Right, yes. But, like, there's a real, legit, like, strategy with steps involved plan.
Yes. Yeah, and the structure of these two episodes is really great, too, because it's like, okay, we're laying out our plan, and now we're going to separate the team, and then, like, we're going to see step by step how it all comes together.
Because this is my framework for everything in my life, it reminds me of Transformers Prime.
Aww.
The middle of Season 2 where they're splitting up to go find all the artifacts.
That's exactly it. So
except no one gets wrecked in these two episodes. So,
having written for one of these episodes where everybody is kind of all spread out, how did that go about? Were you all in the writer's room together, kind of checking notes with everybody?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's a team effort, and at the time I started off as a writer's assistant on the show. And I would be in the writer's room with everyone, and, you know, we plot out the whole thing, and we have cards up for, like, every episode.
Right.
And, like, for Beta Traz, for a long time, it just said, Prison Break. And that
That's what it is.
That was all it said for a very long time, and, like, what was going to be in that was, like, we'll jump off that bridge when we get to it. But
that, not even cross the bridge, just jump off.
That's the best way to get things done, I found.
How do you think you prison break? That's what you do.
Yeah. I read a Zen saying today that said, if you jump, a net will appear.
Huh.
Yeah? And so far that has been wrong every time.
That did not work for Jackson's family.
Please don't do that.
I'm just picturing like the moment from The Fugitive where Harrison Ford just jumps out.
Yes.
It worked out.
It did.
I think that's actually a great philosophy to live by personally, so I'm good with it.
See, didn't work terribly well for Dick Grayson's family.
Well,
Katie, it's too early. It's never too early.
Wow.
How dare.
Everybody take a drink because that hurts. Because he's my favorite.
From Tumblr, that's canon.
No,
that's
no,
Batman's canon.
I know, but you still broke my heart.
That's true. That is a different set of comics and cartoons. To get back to this one, so you guys were there was a lot of discussion on how to pace all these out. Then
absolutely, and like we break the stories as a team, so it might be like. It's your episode, come in with a bunch of ideas for what it could be, and then the rest of the team will be like, oh, that's awesome, like, what if this happens, or what if that happens? And so, like, with Josh's, Josh wrote The Belly of the Weblum, and he had to like, set up everything with that plan, you know? So he had to really know what was going to happen, it was going to unfold, and stuff like that.
Now, my question is, was it Josh who came up with the idea for the, like, 80s, like, jazzercise instruction video? And explaining how to, you know, successfully infiltrate the Weblum?
You know, I honestly can't remember if it was his idea, but it seems like it might have been his idea.
I love that Hunk's reaction to Young Karan was mine. Essentially, yeah. Just like, oh God, here we go.
That was honestly, and I really enjoyed this episode overall, but that little detail to me was just so delightful.
Yes. Oh, so
because,
great.
I mean, how many times growing up, at least for me in elementary school, you know, going to elementary school in the 90s, like, we would have to watch educational videos like that all the time. And just that flashback to, like, this is a really old tape. And, like, the, like, you know, lines of that you would get, like, on the VCR tapes that are worn out. It was really brilliant.
Yeah. And the fact that you had, like, the more cutesy character of, like, to explain what you were going to be doing. Like, all my science classes were like that. Hey! You know?
Great summer as the Weblum.
Yes. Oh, really?
Oh,
I didn't know.
That is a voice I remember from my childhood.
Okay.
That particular summer. That was definitely her.
Yeah, it was just kind of cool.
To record that, where you had like little parts getting bleeped out with like static and stuff like that, we had to actually record like the whole thing. So like, Josh wrote a version where it was like all staticked out, and then he had to like in the back of the script when we recorded it, it was just like the actual thing.
Oh
and
my god!
Hearing Reese Darby go, it was like one of the most funny things ever.
I love that.
They should just release that at some point where it's just like, here's the actual instructional video.
I would love that.
Yeah, just,
that
I know it's Netflix, and Netflix doesn't usually get DVD release. Do they get DVD releases of their original stuff?
I don't know.
They recently released Daredevil on DVD, so it's possible.
Oh, okay.
Special features on Voltron DVDs. I want the outtake reel.
Well, and there is a YouTube channel.
Right.
There is a special Voltron YouTube channel.
They could. I mean, that's where the trailers get released.
If you're watching, we want that.
Please and thank you.
DreamWorks.
So badly. Oh, my God. Just give me 5 minutes or however long it was. Of restarting, just reading this insane instructional video.
Yes, and to you'd mentioned that Cree Summer did the voice of the Weblum, and there was the great Timberwolf 410 quoted the great moment of "If I can't see ya, I can't kill ya." and Matthew Avely, it is the same voice actor who does the voice of Hagar,
And half the people in this
series. Yeah, no, like, pretty much.
Josh is the other half, so we're good.
Yeah, she's very versatile, Cree Summer.
She's extremely versatile.
I love her.
It's just, God, this episode was so much fun.
Yeah, and I loved, again, that you're putting a Hunk in sort of the spotlight of being a very resourceful and intelligent character. Mm-hmm. I mean, to the point that even when they're disembarking, when he's paired up with Keith is like, yo, like, we're gonna need your big brain to be functioning in order to complete this thing. Like, basically Keith being like, your sort of instincts and survival skills, I mean, here's the thing, this was sort of like Voltron does Magic School Bus without the shrug.
But to your point about when Hunk has to grow a little bit too.
Yeah.
It also finally gets to show like where Keith's leadership skills lie. That he can say things like, "You should, you know, Hunk, you have it in you."
Exactly. And it, because that is the thing about being a leader. It's like the most important thing about being a leader is more about how you recognize the strength in others and delegate, and we do start to see that with Keith in this episode.
Yeah. Right. Now, I do want to ask everybody, though, how do we feel about that? Because I love, again, he was very resourceful in this episode, and he's always a treat to watch, and he's so lovable and kind, but did anyone feel it was kind of out of character for him to be super racist?
No. Okay. Oh my god.
Right. Okay.
I wrote racism question mark on my noteboard here because watching this a second time, it's microaggressions out the wazoo.
So for me,
oh my god,
you guys have to watch the crosstalk.
Sure.
I feel like, at least for me, because even the nicest person that I've met in my entire life can see something as soon as I either do something or if I showed something that was from either Black, Filipino, or whatever, they're just like, just out of nowhere. So it's not the fact, or being a female, like, it doesn't matter. The person could be literally a saint, but little things, just little tiny things will just come out.
And I think it's actually incredibly realistic, mm-hmm. and it's something that we're seeing with Allura, and in Allura's case, it is more
personal.
She's kind of got a reason.
She has a personal vendetta, and unfortunately, and this is a very human thing to do. She is projecting what she knows about a singular group of Galra onto the entire Galra race, mm-hmm. and this is something that human beings do. Even again, as Alexis, as you say, if they are good people, I kind of took Hunks. I sort of thought it was funny because it's not. It's not specifically a racist thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not defending the statement by any means, but I'm just saying that, like, and Mitch and I were chatting about this a little before we went live. Like, if you, like, for example, I'm like, hey, I'm from Connecticut, and then someone else who knows one person in the state of Connecticut is like, oh, do you know so-and-so? And
it's like, I hate that.
I know it's a small state, but it's pretty heavily populated.
No, not all Galra know each other.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, this episode was more close to my heart in this way because of the fact that it happens, and the fact that it wasn't, I didn't take offense to it, if I was in Keith's shoes, it was more along the lines of Hunk is just, it's more of the shock value,
yeah.
and
yeah.
you have foot and mouth syndrome, where it's coming out, and you're like, ugh.
It's a lot of process. He got this news, fell asleep for 3 hours, and had to go out on a mission.
But that didn't really stop me from watching it for the second time and going, oh god, please stop.
We have that reaction because we know how hurtful it is to Keith.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, even in this episode, it's, you know, becoming a Galra made you a better human. Keith isn't different now. He didn't just suddenly turn purple.
And that's why I love the fact that he said, I've always been human. I didn't just turn Galra. And I'm like, yeah, that's correct. It reminded me, I mean, not to get too personal, but it reminded me of going to this restaurant every time, and there's one waiter who's seen me every time, just randomly, she's like, oh, we have grits on the menu now. I would like to give you some. And I was like, I've never asked for that, ever. I actually don't like it, but she just assumed.
What makes you think I would want that?
Yeah, she's like, oh, you're black, so you want grits. But I had a white friend with me she didn't offer grits to her. You see what I mean? So, like, she doesn't mean anything by it. She was very sweet. She paid for my dinner sometimes. Like, it just happens.
Yeah. I wish people would randomly give me grits. I would be really stoked about that.
Yeah, that's exactly what my friend said. He was like, I want grits.
So my feeling about it is that, like, it's actually a very smart writing choice. I mean, especially on the part of Allura, who...
She definitely is going through some stuff.
Yeah.
And to take it away from race for a moment, they're like Nazis. Like, and so it's like, my whole planet was killed by Nazis, and I just found out granted, this is a racist way, but like you're from that lineage. Like, you'd have a lot of, like, hurt feelings toward that. It'd be a lot to work through.
So that's why I can forgive Hunk on this one, because he also can't relate like Allura can. It's more of just like, I'm just spitting out stuff. Sorry. Also, everything's fine now, kind of.
Well, and we're kind of in the situation of if the Nazis had won the war and then conquered the planet.
Yes. Yep.
And then the galaxy.
And then the galaxy next door. And the dumpster fire extends.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Corinne in the chat says, this topic is really kind of sensitive, and I think the writers handled it very well.
Yeah.
I agree. And again, it's like, I like to see art mimicking life. And to me, this is, and I mean, I just think, Alexis, speaking about your personal experiences, like, it just really does reflect what actually happens.
And this could not have come out at a timelier moment.
I know.
Oddly enough, because I know it takes, like,
years.
I mean, just a single episode, after it gets recorded, it takes 9 months to animate.
God, that's crazy.
I think that, like, you have a batch of 13, and every time I flail an arm, I see that you're like, and I'm like, you're right, I shouldn't do that. I have no,
you have
no perception.
You, go for it.
You can
go
even
for
lounge,
it.
Like, if you want.
Just the whole couch to yourself.
You can
lay
out and just be comfy.
I'm totally going to nail that camera.
That's fine. That's fine.
So, but the thing is, we're in each other's sight lines, so if I do this, they can't see Alexis. And everyone who's listening on iTunes is like, what on God's
green
earth?
We're doing jazz hands, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Very excited. All jazz hands,
I didn't know people were just listening.
So many.
Yeah. How many fingers am I holding up?
Oh, you'll have to go over to YouTube to find out.
And it was like, none.
Come participate in the YouTube live chat. It is super fun.
Yeah, I think they were talking about Avenue Q at one point.
Yeah, there was. There was, yeah, I mean, obviously.
Oh, God, I'm sure there were.
I love that musical. Sorry.
Oh, just made that connection and went, oh, well, I'm glad I didn't think of that song to start.
Oh, man.
So we need to talk about the random person that we found in the second stomach of the giant apocalyptic space.
Do we think somebody's coming back? Or you think that it was just like a...
Do we think it's somebody?
Or she, sorry, yes.
Years? I mean, how long has this
that would
person...
Be cool if it was a she. Sorry.
If it was what?
If it was a lady. Yeah, just the possibilities in my head.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's Keith's mom, grandma, someone.
Oh, like an actual...
Like a family member. AceTrainer44 on Twitter has called it Chekhov's Galra.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
I love that. We're going to stick that little Vanitas wannabe up on the mantle until they come back down.
Mm-hmm. Jeez.
Oh, man. More like a Rinsler would be more accurate. Yep.
So we have like a How to Train Your Dragon 2 kind of moment where mom comes back and we just don't know about it yet. And so, like, halfway through, like, I don't know. That's what it felt like to me.
But his dad's already dead.
Now here's the thing. Here's the thing.
It's been out for 2 years.
Where,
at least.
We apologize. We have a writer in the room. Obviously, we can't ask you. So was that his mom? Is that a friend that's going to come back? So. Please bear with us.
That's my poker face, by the way.
Yeah. That's why we're not staring at you going, answer the questions. Like, NDAs.
That's why I'm looking straight at these.
No spoilers here.
Blinders.
But, I mean, this sort of presents a very... Even if this character doesn't come back, which... I believe he or she will definitely come back at some point. You guys don't waste anything.
Chat is firmly in the camp of this is a she.
I want it to be a girl so badly. Yes. Just because we haven't seen any female Galra yet.
I agree.
It would be so great.
They have to exist unless this is a species that just reproduces asexually, which, okay, but we haven't gone into that. But then we also have the, your mother's on her way, she'll explain everything that we got 2 episodes ago. Mm-hmm. It's like, well,
I'll be honest.
She has a lot to explain.
I will be honest, I don't think it's mom.
Really?
But, yeah, because I feel like it would be very, I don't know, I feel like if she ran into her long-lost son, she would have been like, oh, huh.
Yeah, or she might have been too shocked to
I'm
say
with Megan on this.
I've been a bad mom.
great-grandma, whoever it was, way up the lineage, who's been cryogenically frozen in here for God knows how
Dear
long.
God. We have no idea how long that person has been
that
in there.
That place was grown over.
Well, that was the thing that was really interesting to me, was, like, what was that plane, you know? Like, what, like... Was that, like, an escape pod that some sort of cryogenically frozen thing triggered?
It didn't look like a normal ship to me. It did
look
like...
Yeah, it was little.
Yeah.
We've seen Galra fighters. We've seen Galra escape pods.
Yeah.
Didn't really look like either of those.
Yeah.
But that's why it makes more sense, the fact that she's probably been in there for so long.
Let's just assume it's a she.
I'm
going to
find
it. I said
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
let's assume. I think that maybe, I would agree that maybe she's just been in there for so long that we've already changed the designs of our planes and our escape pods at this point.
Well, and...
Could be just
and the color of our logos.
Well,
why
and...
Not? It's been 10,000 years.
True. Give you such a crick in the neck.
If she has been cryogenically frozen in there for a long time, then, like... The Galra might not have been bad when she fell asleep.
Oh.
Could you imagine, like, somebody rescuing you, a stranger, they see that you're Galra, and then they immediately pull a gun on you, you're like, I can't say
your
anything.
Gun on you.
I have a lot of questions, but I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and leave at the earliest opportunity.
I'm also trying to figure out what she needs the shards for.
where the pieces
actually,
were, the
skull you and Nova Lagan in the chat are literally on the exact same wavelength. Literally the moment you said that, Nova Lagan asked, why did they take some of the stuff Keith and Huck were collecting, though?
I mean,
you can sell it at the Space Mall.
I know. We'll find out in the Mythical Season 3, should it occur.
Yeah.
Sure. Or... whenever.
Whatever.
I imagine that, again, if this is such, you know, obviously it's a dangerous task to undergo to get these things, I imagine that they're valuable. You can't just go down to the Space Mall and pick up a ton anymore.
Right. And the fact that she's been gone forever, so yes.
Exactly. I just kind of want to follow the adventures of this mysterious masked figure she goes to the Space Mall and finds out it's no longer a swap meet. And she goes to a planet and finds it completely dead and is like, what happened?
What year is it?
Just the slightly sad and very interesting fish out of water adventures of this masked figure who doesn't know what's happening right now. But has a bag of skull trite and a 10,000 year old mission.
So web series on the YouTube
web series.
Down. Are you writing this all down, Mitch?
There'll be a video of this afterward, right?
Yeah. She may have just gotten you popcorn beforehand to eat while you watch us theorize wildly.
Which is really fun.
Right.
By the way.
About the stuff that you personally are working on. So obviously, you guys put a lot of planning into the series.
There it goes.
We knew it was going to happen eventually.
Okay, so if anyone had any bets on 9:30, that's when it happened.
Dang it. I did not place a bet, so I lose nothing.
That was going to be at the end of the show.
Sort of when you're plotting out the show, do you plot out as if, like, oh, this could go on for hopefully 5 seasons? You know what I mean? Like, how sort of far out do you plot with the hopes that, like, oh, we might get to do more content? Because obviously, if you're eventually going to introduce something, you want to start, like, laying the groundwork for that earlier on.
I really don't know if I can answer that question. to your satisfaction.
Sure.
But we definitely care long-term about where the characters will go and what they'll go through.
Sweet. On, like, a personal note, you said you started out as a writer's assistant on the show.
Yes.
When you were given the opportunity to write the first episode and, you know, to co-write this graphic novel, is that just something they approached you casually about? Or, like, hey, would you actually want to write a full episode? Or?
You know, the way it all worked out, there was an opening for, they're called freelance episodes, where you bring in an outside writer.
Right.
And I had a pitch on it, and it worked out just nicely, I guess. I don't know how to say other than
that. That's great.
But
can we ask which episode it was? Which episode?
Oh, for Beta Traz.
Oh, this is your first?
Yes.
And this is the one. Oh, okay, so that makes sense then, because they had, like, they were like, we don't know what's going to happen here. And you were like, here's what's going to happen. And they were like, you, sir, write this episode.
I mean, I think at this point we can move on to talking about it. I think we've covered just about everything.
We have to say, you know, got farted out of the butt, though. Like, how great is that line?
I saw that coming over.
For the 9-year-olds in the audience. Hey.
Yeah. You know what, though? For all that I am not the craziest about fart jokes...
and we cover Bob's Burgers, just saying.
I actually enjoyed the one in this episode because, like, there was a point to it. You know what I mean? Like, the farting ended up being important.
I don't know if that makes it worse.
I just love that Hunk, like, laughs at it. That was something that was, like really early on, Josh was like, well, he's got to get farted out of the butt. And then Joaquin, the showrunner, was like, yeah, that's awesome. And then I think there was one point where an executive may have been like, are we really going to have to get farted out of the butt? And Joaquin was like, yeah, we're going to do that. Like, of course.
Yeah.
This is an all-ages show. We have to have at least one fart joke.
At least one.
Yeah.
I guess it's one per season because we had one in the first episode and then we stayed away from it for an entire season.
That's great.
It's like we have a checklist and it's like, all right, wipe it clean. We're on our next
one
season. What do we need to... There's the fart joke. There's this. There's the requisite Hunk got sick.
We got queasy Hunk again for a little bit. So that was kind of nice. Little poke to that.
I did appreciate nobody understands an explosive digestive system like you. But just that moment, did you make a joke? Did you? Stop explaining it. Stop. We get it. Stop. Hunk, I love you. What are you doing?
I love it. It makes me so
happy.
He's
processing, Katie.
He is processing, I suppose.
He processes with his voice, I guess.
Isn't Hunk just an awesome buddy? I mean, he can go on an adventure with Lance. I think anyone could go on an adventure with Hunk and have a good time.
I need this man to cook for me. Absolutely.
Yes.
I agree.
I want the
I want the hunk cookbook. That would be cool.
That would be the most.
But I do also
give me money.
I actually need
to open this up and show a thing. Keep going.
I do think that it is really nice the way that Hunk is portrayed in Voltron from the point of view that, like, they don't just, you know, have the stereotype, like, oh, he's, like, the dumb, chubby character.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, he's smart, and he's capable, and he's good at stuff.
And he loves food.
He does. Cake.
We have an alternate cover
in the comics.
And God bless Shiro. He cannot cook.
Yeah, it's okay.
But
it's
we have just the cutest Voltron cake and lion cookies,
also,
and everything's wonderful.
Also, Keith in an apron is adorable.
Everyone in an apron, sign me up.
Yeah, no,
the
so
apron
cute.
Brigade.
I also want a Voltron cake. Just saying.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's someone out there who's made one already.
Yeah, I want
what space cooking shows look like.
Yeah, I think this is another great idea for a web series from Chica Knight, which is a hunk cooking web series. Like, I would like a series of hunk cooks,
like,
with
vlogs.
Space ingredients.
Yes! And I would love an episode where, like, the thing is still alive and he doesn't know that, and it, like, tries to eat him, and it cuts it, and he's, like, all disheveled, and he's like, okay, we're just gonna skip that. We're gonna use a different one. I'm sorry. And then move on, and it'd be really adorable.
I'm pretty sure if we have space ads that are similar to Slap Chop, I figure the cooking shows are relatively similar to the Earth ones, too.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Tell you what I'm gonna did.
Beautiful.
It slices, it dices. Yeah.
So what does Drive-Ins, Diners, and Dives?
Oh, my God!
Look like in the Galra Empire.
Well, it's hosted by Hunk.
No, Hunk is better than Guy Fieri.
Don't you dare. But I also want to see him in a space red convertible. So
that they visit, like, Rip and Sal's.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
To say, hey, how are we doing? Oh, man, a bar rescue
and that
would be awesome.
That, yeah, they
bar rescue. Like, space half kitchen nightmares.
Yeah. Like, it would be beautiful.
Perfect.
Wait, right, I should have gotten you popcorn, huh?
Oh, God.
It was amazing.
This is what we do on the show. Welcome to the Madhouse.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on.
But yeah, this was a good, fun, just to kind of cap that off, this was a good, fun space adventure episode.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's one of those things where you're reminded just how good this show is. If you kind of compare it to the more episodic nature of the original, like, they were never going to go inside of a giant space monster in the old show. And not to knock the old show or anything like that, but I just love how you guys can take, you know, a template and then make it this vast epic space adventure. It's fun.
And also, I mean, like, Joaquin and Lauren, they're totally cool with doing adventures. In fact, they encourage adventures away from just, like, having Voltron fight a monster.
Yeah.
Which is really awesome. It makes it, like, you get to be more creative that way.
Yes, it is. It's a little less formulaic. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, Voltron is still at the center of it, and obviously, you know, we have Voltron come out at all of the pivotal points in the overarching plot line, but I like that, you know, we don't get Voltron in every single episode.
Yeah. That makes it special when it comes to Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. That it's not like Power Rangers where you have a monster of the week and you're always going to have the Megazord at the end.
Every time.
Every time.
It's my favorite.
With that awesome guitar.
I know. That's what all I want.
Yep.
Yes. All right. I think that pretty much covers our final thoughts for this week.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Escape from Beta Traz.
Yeah!
This is one of my favorite episodes this season. I cried laughing the first time I watched it, and I kind of did that again tonight.
Oh, awesome.
It's so good. Talk to us a little bit about the development of Slav.
Oh my god.
Literally too smart for his own good.
Right.
It's too much.
Well, I knew that the way the story is breaking out, we wanted to have, like, a scientist that they're going to break out. So I started, like, reading about different scientists, and I, like, was looking at Tesla, and Tesla had a lot of, like, OCD tendencies and stuff like that.
You know? I picked up on that.
He would have to walk outside of the building and go around it, like, 17 times or whatever before he could, like, go back and do math.
Yeah. Well, my dad's obsessed with Tesla, so I love that that's the inspiration for that.
Yeah,
that's
he's
so
the
cool.
impetus. And I actually kind of wrote him that way, like, just like Tesla at first. And I can't remember if it was Joaquin or Lauren, but one of them was like, nah, he's got to be, like, space crazy. And I was like, what does that mean? And then I was like, I was kind of like, I don't know how to do space crazy. And then I think I watched like an episode of Rick and Morty. And I
was there it
is. That's Space Crazy.
That's Space Crazy.
Just kind of take it and crank it up to 11. Like the quantum theory about how cracks cause ripples and quantum. I just, oh my God.
You broke your mother's back in an alternate dimension. I hope you're happy.
What if I just cover your eyes? I'll know.
God, just in case anyone was wondering, when you mentioned Tesla, I was like, didn't David Bowie play Tesla in The Prestige?
Yes, he did, yeah.
100%. Yes, love
it. That is also the reason why my dad loves Tesla.
Tesla also wanted to build a death ray.
He did?
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with death ray? Are we anti-death rays here?
No, we're not.
He was a giant robot show. I don't think we can even say that.
He was a genius that was ahead of his time, and he was also a little bit pants-on-head crazy.
Would it be great if, like, as a plot twist, the Galra actually put him away for a good reason. Like, he's just got this warehouse filled with death rays.
That's what I thought it was, though, that he was actually just really terrible.
But, you know, actually, but I didn't think so, though, because of the way in which we were introduced to this character. Now, obviously, we don't see who he is. We just see that he's, like, having his brain probed.
Oh my God, yeah.
That's
insane.
That's harsh, that's Mitch.
Bad. I felt bad for him, really.
Like, why did you do that to Sloth?
You know, you have to have a reason for why he's there, you know? And we really did, like, kind of, we were like, why would the... Well, we didn't think about it too hard. It was like, well, if you have a genius scientist, what has history shown you do?
Right.
You take their mind and you juice it.
Right.
Put it on a flash drive.
Yes.
Congratulations. It's your turn to break a leg.
Why? Why would you do this to
me? Take a shot, everyone. We have a drinking game. A fan made a drinking game for us, and drinking Alexis is one of them.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's tradition. Every guest has done this so far.
It's so gross. I also just watched Sucker Punch recently, so I was like,
oh, yeah, no, that'll do it.
That'll ruin your day.
Messing with people's minds.
That'll ruin your day.
I shouldn't have done that.
Catherine Nguyen in the chat brings up what I thought was one of the greatest things about this episode, which is I liked how Shiro isn't portrayed as perfect hashtag space dad. His facial expressions in this episode caught me off guard.
I loved frustrated Shiro.
Because, I mean, this is the thing, is, you know, not that Shiro's a perfect character by any means. We see, and we certainly see, like, the dark side of Shiro not being so perfect and, you know, dealing with whatever happened to him when he was a captive of the Galra. And
trauma and PTSD.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, having an arm replaced. But I liked in this episode that we just saw that kind of, like, human breaking point.
You are an adult. Act like
it's that sort of thing where, you know, even though he is space dad, dads get mad. They pull over the car and they're like, I swear I will come back there.
Remember, it's where he's picking up this person who's supposed to be extremely important and extremely smart, but they're acting like they're a child because they know too much and they're paralyzed by indecision because the odds are so far against them throughout the multitudes of all of reality. And so Shiro, who is very, very mission-oriented, has less than zero patience by the time we're done with this. We just need to get you and get out of here. We need to go from point A to point B. We have an eye in the sky.
Yeah.
What is your problem with this puddle? Oh, my God. How can you drown in a puddle? Why?
I think...
Why?
That was the most frustrating for this episode for me. I was like, final destination.
That is the final destination dimension where he drowns in that puddle.
There's an alternate reality where it happens.
Yeah, I know. I was totally thinking of, like, Scrubs, where he just, like, falls into it, and he's like, how did I get here?
I think I saw a manatee.
I think that what Jane says in the chat sums it up perfectly. Shiro was 3,000% done.
Yes!
Correct. I really, like, I was waiting for him to, like, pull out a jacket from somewhere and be like, there, walk on top of it. You're welcome.
And we have Legit Opal in the hashtag, who has just been sending us all of these wonderful Photoshops, I love you, who did a Photoshop of, I feel like it's Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Oh, maybe.
No, what?
And it's Shiro's pissed, and yes, I did edit that for air. And it's worth looking in the hashtag. There's all sorts of fun stuff in there tonight. Thank you to everyone contributing. We're having a blast.
The other
Mark,
thing,
I don't think you can put it up.
Yeah.
It's not air appropriate.
Don't pay attention to me.
The other thing that I thought was particularly strong about this episode, in terms of the writing, and a lot of people are kind of went on a little tangent about it in the chat right now as well, was the fact that we see a lot of sort of introspection on the part of Lance, who is, you know, just basically...
He's trying to find his place.
Yeah, he's, I mean, he's, like, running around with a, like, space giant dog lion.
A yother.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of, like, the dog things from Ghostbusters.
That's what I feel!
Yeah.
Reminded me of Flopsy from Avatar.
Yeah. But exactly, so he's kind of like breaking it down because I mean he thinks that he's found Slav.
we gotta give my blue lion a break sometimes. Yeah,
the writing tricks for that, just all of it continually being affirmative questions. You are this, right? You are this, right?
We started talking about that, and we were like, one of the ideas we talked about is in the Matrix films. The Matrix doesn't work because the initial Matrix didn't work because you got whatever you wanted.
Right. Yeah.
And we started talking about that, and it was like, if somebody always said yes to you, maybe you'd start asking questions you wouldn't want the answer to be yes to.
Yes.
Am I a bad person?
Yes.
You're right.
But leave it to Lance to not recognize that all that this supposed genius has said is, yup.
Yeah.
Like, there's eccentric geniuses, and then there's monosyllabic geniuses. Yeah.
Lance, I wasn't with you on this one, my friend.
No.
I always support you. Not this time.
Gold star, he tried.
Oh, yeah. I gave him two.
Yeah, absolutely. But I liked that, you know, because Lance is, you know, he's Space Sokka, and he tends to be kind of, you know, all over the place and generally a little bit of a silly character. And it was really nice in this episode to see a little bit of introspection on his part. And the way that it was crafted of, like, I'm asking all these affirmative questions, and then we come to, like, oh, maybe I don't have a thing. Yup. And then him just having to kind of deal with, like, what is his role in the team. I thought it was a really interesting dilemma to bring up.
Yeah. And he's silly, but at the end of the day, he makes the shots.
Oh, yeah. I was very proud of him.
I just watched thousands of fan theories get validated for that. And I'm like, yeah, I think I read a fic like this once. Mm-hmm. Lance the Sniper has been an ongoing, like, everyone just kind of took that and went, I love this headcanon, I'm making it mine. And I was like, nope, it's canon, go nuts.
Bless
this ridiculous fandom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked the yupper as a character. I thought it was a nice
Laika.
Yeah, Laika. It was a nice device that was fun and organic to bring us to that moment of, you know, maybe I'm not really sure why I'm here. that wasn't, like, very manufactured in a, like, oh, we gotta get some angst from Lance, you know what I mean? Like, it felt very natural.
And for him, yeah. Simultaneously, you guys have done a really great job of humanizing the Gulra a lot in this episode, and we have this space warden who's awful to his actual prisoners, but at the end of the day, he loves his puppy.
Yeah.
Who's a good girl? Yes, you are.
Like, I do that to the cat. She hates it.
So is that sort of what the idea was behind it, to both, like, present this dilemma for Lance, but also still kind of work to humanize the Gulra a bit?
Yes, but also we just really wanted to have a dog. If I'm being 100% honest.
I'm okay with this.
It actually started in, like, a real, and this is, like, a way back thing that happened, but Mei Chan, one of the other writers on the show, she is, by the way, like, one of the funniest people I've ever met in my entire life.
That's awesome.
She just walked in one day to the writer's room and was like, okay.
Oh, no.
We just start an episode where Hunk and Lance are, like, breaking all these prisoners out. They're like, go, 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 go. They get them in the ship. They go, shh. They come home. And Karan's like, why did you just rob a zoo?
We already have a cow. You might as well. So
we just, like, laugh for every now and then. We just think about that and laugh. Because it was like, how would you know what an alien animal looks like?
That's true.
They would look the same to you. They would look like a prison.
Speaking of Kaltenecker.
Oh, my God. That would be the best episode.
So on it, please.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of Kaltenecker. Where did Laika's name come from? Because I noticed Commander Iverson, you share a name with them, and then Kaltenecker is one of the producers, I believe. So I've been seeing a lot of crew names showing up in minor characters. Mm-hmm. So where did Laika come from?
It's not a satisfying answer. It's, so it was originally Lydia, after Mei Chan's daughter that was born during the production. But we had to change it for some kind of legal reason, which I don't remember why, but then Laika, the first dog in space is Laika.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
so there. That's okay. But it's not named after anyone on our show, I guess.
That's still cool, though.
Yeah. I like that. Cool.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, I can't get that like that space fake puppy episode out of my head. That's just, it's just so good. I just love it so much.
Space
do I get, do we drink twice if
my happiness doesn't break. Doesn't, no, my happiness doesn't result in better drinking. So okay. It's no, just my demise.
Unfortunately not. We I had a thought and then it went away.
Go ahead.
Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we haven't even touched on Pidge's role in this episode.
That was where I was going. Yeah. We have our eye in the sky, and I will say my favorite moment of all of Pidge's stuff is making a terrible pun and then poking the down drone like it's going to say something. Yes!
Oh. I'm so glad that made it in, because initially I had Lance say it, and that got cut, but then Lauren, one of the co-showrunner with Joaquin, she was like, come on, we gotta have that back in. She was like, what if Pidge says it? And she like, nudges the sentry.
Extremely funny when she is left to her own devices.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. She's I love by her herself so much. In space. She constructs friends to talk to.
But I loved
Mustache.
Every time. I really loved that Pidge, like, had, at very true to her character from the beginning of the series, her other agenda still going strong.
And I love that we got that moment of, wait, we just found Matt. He got broken out by rebels, so he's no longer in the system. Well, now he's in the wind, but he's also very much alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We still have no idea where Dad is. She wasn't looking for Dad for some reason.
Just play devil's. He was alive when that tape. She found that
That's
tape.
True.
That's true. We've already gone with the Pidge may have accidentally killed her whole family theory.
Why do we have to keep
it? And back again. There.
Because I'm trying to get you used to it, when it eventually does happen in the canon, you'd be okay.
Worst shock therapy ever.
It's exposure therapy. You'll be fine.
There.
Yep. I'm a professional. I'm not a professional.
I assume that's not what happened, but you bring up a good point as devil's advocate. I mean, he was alive at the time of this recording. Yep. We have no idea what's happened to him since.
And what
he's
about
in the wind?
And what about Dad?
Yeah,
I literally just said she's not looking for Dad,
but I don't know why she's not looking for Dad.
Yeah. I don't either. He's off in the salt mine somewhere.
Oh my God.
I would like to venture that she is looking for Dad too.
Okay,
true. That sub program is running as well.
The thing is that Dad's a scientist. Like, her son, her brother was very bright, but Dad's a scientist. I would think that the Gaul, as we see in this episode, would want to use a scientific mind.
They do seem to be interested in science.
She's like, let me find the person that they threw at the into the gladiator ring.
Yeah,
first.
That's what I was thinking of. That makes sense. Okay.
The more expendable by the Gaulerous point of view.
Didn't they say at some point, though, that they basically sent Dad to a work camp?
Yeah.
I feel like that was a season one thing when they were talking with the other prisoners, asking what happened to the other humans.
Because he didn't. Well, it's weird because he didn't. They said that they took the adults or some sort of type of person to a different camp because of what the way that they looked, and then there was. I don't know why they left
because of reasons.
Voltron science.
I could have sworn it was a season one thing where we got confirmed, Dad got split off and went to a work camp somewhere, and then they put us in the gladiatorial arena.
Yeah, it was when we were rescuing that group of people from the ship.
Okay. We know that they've certainly been separated for a long period of time at this point.
It's very interesting.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe
so, they're still out there.
Maybe she was just looking for Matt because she got that bit of info about her dad. True. And she's like, I still have no idea where Matt is.
Yeah, no leads at all on Matt. But until now.
Yeah.
That's such an interesting
Which
is
good for him.
Guys, if you're not watching live, also, I don't know if the camera
was on
Mitch at all, but it's
really... Is it?
Pretty amazing what's going on in here.
It's possible to get that poker face on.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Seriously, popcorn.gif.
Honestly, can't tell. There's just so much joy there.
Yeah.
For the record, there's nothing going on back here. That's the secret.
We should talk a little bit about this warden. He reminded me a lot of Bane.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's right.
Especially with the chemical injections here. I'm like, that's full on, like, cartoon version.
As soon as he did that, I was like, all right, we're pulling from Bane. I like it. Here we go.
He went full Bane,
I was all right with it.
Yeah, I thought of that as well.
Yeah.
And I love the extra arms, and I love the continual commentary about, but don't you want another robot arm? See, look how great it would be.
That was amazing. I loved Slav. as a character just so much.
Slav is my new favorite side character, and it's kind of hard to dethrone favorites in my camp. And it's like, nope, I love this crazy 10-legged otter. Just give it to me.
I did feel sort of conflicted about, you know, the warden, because he was the one that was, like, probing Slav's mind, which is awful. I, like... No, that's the thing. I like that the show, like, goes so dark, being like, this is evil. This is really evil.
Yeah, that torture scene was hard to listen to, because, I mean, I was listening to it at work, but, like, my coworkers watched with me at lunch, so we just had it on, and I was like, we should probably turn this down. It's getting a little hazy up in here.
Screaming, like, a lot.
If you turn on the closed captionings, it has screaming, ow, sobs at one point. I'm like,
oh, my God.
For some reason, reading the word sobs, like, just made me very sad.
It gave me chills, dude. It was insane.
Yeah, no. And then you meet Slav, and he's just kind of like, oh, God.
But face palm for days.
Not to break you further.
No, do it.
It is sad to think that maybe he wasn't like that before. Not to break you.
Right. How long lived is Slav?
That might just be my fan
theory. In prison?
That was so beautiful. Oh my God.
It's not a fan theory for the writer.
Yeah.
It's
okay. The Something Something cast says, I was getting a very Tony Shalhoub monk vibe from Slav, which I totally agree with. But I have to say, Mitch, that did cross my mind. I was like, Was this the result of the Galra, like, electrifying his brain?
I'm just throwing out ideas. I'm not saying what it is.
If he'd been like that beforehand, then they wouldn't have needed an entire prison like that. They would have just had to put him in a regular room, bars on the windows, and then a couple of puddles on the floor.
Oh my God.
You'd need, like, Rube Goldberg bucket of water above the door style traps to keep him in, because he'd be so paranoid that he never leave.
So no, I think there's a lot of weight to he wasn't like this before. That's why we needed 8,000 layers of security that couldn't all be accessed from a single point. And now it's like, I can't step on the cracks. You're like, seriously?
I don't think Shiro's ever, like, regretted rescuing somebody that much in his life.
Just this, and I my favorite line is next episode, and we'll talk about it then, but just Shiro losing his noise
that was great.
Over something that isn't extremely serious and PTSD is a wonderful news side to the character. You kind of have to wonder what it takes to just rub him the wrong way, and it's a super genius acting like a scared 5-year-old.
I will pull this spaceship over.
Right. Very much.
Yes!
Thank you, legit Opal, in the hashtag. Seriously.
He's going to be telling enough.
So good.
Like, get out.
I really need that little angry anime symbol up in the top of that corner. That would be great.
The throbbing bane.
Yes. I saw like 8 of them to just pop up on my screen. And I'm like,
so good.
Just angry Shiro and Pidge making puns to dead things. And Lance's confirmation bias.
Slav just continuing to talk about the robotic arm.
Over and over.
So fascinating.
And just him looking at Lance, oh yeah, I can see where the confusion was for you. Just sums it up and we move on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, oh, that makes sense.
In the moment, Slav was the entire audience throwing shade.
Yeah.
No, he was the sassiest character
so far.
This was just... Do we have final thoughts on this episode? Aside from I laughed, I cried, I laughed harder.
I was just going to say, I'm with Emma. Like, I really like that, again, you have this warden who's awful, he's torturing people, but at the end of the day, like I said, he's very humanized too, because he would choose to save his puppy over recapturing his prisoners.
Yeah.
He's like, you are what's important to me.
The Emperor's gonna execute me, but at least I have my Yepper. Isn't that right?
Last thing that I feel like needs to be addressed is how crazy Zarkon is.
I kind of put all the Galra stuff from these two episodes together in my notes. Just before we swing into that, was there anything specifically from this episode, any behind-the-scenes stuff, anything that you liked that got left on the cutting room floor? Anything that's not covered
I never
by
cut
an
and
NDA?
Tell. No, I mean, you know, seriously, just to say, though, it is, like, such a team effort on this, and it's, you know, it was directed by Eugene. He's amazing. Tim, the head writer, he, like, you know, you can never, like... really fully explain how often, like, you'll read a script and then, like, Tim might be like, hey, it'd be funny if this happens. And then that, like, might be everyone's favorite part, you know? So it's like, it happened so long ago, it's hard to remember exactly who said what all the time, but it really is like a team effort. It's so fun to be a part of that team.
This episode was just an absolute blast.
I also think, because, you know, for a long time I was getting people coffee, and then when I was when it was like my first episode, and I brought everything I could to it, so did everyone else. Like, you know, everyone was like reading it and like trying to help me like make it as good as it could, and it turned out to be really fun, really good.
It was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Galra stuff.
Jeez.
Because Zarkon, as it turns out, is super obsessed with his ex.
Yeah.
My notes have it.
That's our theme.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He's ruling a dumpster fire, and he's stalking his ex. It's a really bad relationship. I think in my notes, I continually have it as, meanwhile, back at the murder ranch.
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that he was using, like, if anyone is a, you know, Soul Calibur fan, using that Ivy Whip to start, you know, throwing people.
That was Bayard.
Yeah.
He just carries that thing on him. Like, this is the only thing she left behind that still smells like her.
Oh, God.
But, I mean, that never makes said sense, he though. Was a good boyfriend.
No.
It's been a real fact.
No. So... Long
she
story
him to the
short.
Curb,
oh my God! Yes, I found a man who can treat me right, so I'm leaving.
Also, he's quite the looker. So,
hey, yes, but like, yes, he is.
Zarkon receiving all the like energy from the other like witch people, and like,
the druids going, "Well, Mom told us to cut you off. Like, well, yeah. Mom's not here right now."
He's like, "Remember who is in charge of you?"
okay. And just watching the druid collapse, I feel like that was the moment of, oh, this is how obsessed he is. He can talk about the Black Lion all day long, but watching one of his devoted servants just give out on the platform, it's like, okay, show not tell.
What?
That was great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you guys like to sit around and joke and like laugh about other versions of the show. We for sure loved the idea of like Hagar coming in and being like, we don't have a lot of these. They're very special trained druids. There's not like a million of them running around. It's like, leave me alone. I'm trying to get the Black Lion.
We don't have a space Hogwarts. Yeah. Just training
or just
druids.
Like a bunch of stormtroopers. Yeah. Like, that's not how this works.
I was going to go clones.
Yeah. Too many of them. Like, no.
Well, and the introduction of the druids were so intimidating. And what we see on Thace's side of things, it's very unnerving seeing these druids walk around and talk to you and everything like that. So yeah, absolutely. Seeing one collapse, you're like, oh wow, this is escalating quite a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, that really got out of hand.
Yeah.
Speaking of Thace, can we talk about his brand new attached at the hip buddy?
She
totally knows.
Yeah.
She absolutely knows.
There's no way she would have been like, well, yeah, I'm just gonna put that on there. Maybe he will
be
helpful.
You're lying. You were lying.
Yeah.
Here's what they got put it as, Mom, quit looking at my search history.
I mean, when
Mom said I had to stay with you.
I mean, talking about poker faces, though, you gotta give Thace credit. He's got a pretty darn good Galra poker
Blade,
face.
You know? Those guys.
Yeah.
He had to have had a good poker face to have gotten this high up in the ranks for this long, and it was going, oh God, I have to save these idiot teenagers or everything is over forever, that forced his hand.
Yeah.
Like, it was stepping out of line to save these glorious multicolored morons who walked into a trap.
Multicolored morons!
I mean, I love them, but they do not always make good decisions.
Obviously, when you're a spy, you know, you never get time off when you're a spy, but do you think he just sits there to himself, like, when it's actually, for the two hours that he gets to sleep, just going, oh my freaking
God. He thinks about the beaches of his home planet, and the food vendors, and his mom's cooking, and gets a little homesick.
That's terrible.
Just, man, I would love to go back to the space mall. Ugh,
so grab myself an ice cream.
Do you think they still have that game system on hold for me? I mean, the guy says he never sold anything, but I haven't made it back there in like 15 years.
I want a cow as well.
Jeez.
I had my heart set on cult today.
He's like, I'm never going to get one now. Jeez.
Well, and just like, you can feel the noose like getting tighter and tighter.
But I loved that tension. I was just like, what's going to happen? And it was just so cool. And I was like,
and the last thing we learn is Zarkon has armor that has been commissioned.
Yeah.
Holy He's crap. Building a new
oh,
girlfriend.
I was going to say, that was the other thing. I was like, there was one other thing in these episodes that I was like, man, the Gaara are, like, really, really evil. And it was in regards to the armor being made when Hagar comes in and is like, yeah, everyone we tested the armor out on died.
Yep.
I love how, like, nonchalant she was about it. She's
we
like,
specifically requested people with families. Just so you know.
Why?
We were cool.
I'm sorry.
And this is why I never wear makeup on the show anymore, because it's just tears.
The families just made my night. Thank you.
You have Little League games That's to amazing. Go to this week.
Why did Dad not go to my game? Well,
and I mean, the last day we tested it on was like 3 days from retirement.
Oh. Okay, so I figured you want that gold watch, you gotta go through.
Oh, God.
But it's because the armor is made to Dumpster Fire King specifications.
Now,
and if you don't rule a dumpster fire, it's not going
to
fit.
Not to make some assumptions about what this could lead to, but if we look back at the old Voltron, Zarkon at one point kind of got deposed and became a Robeast. That is very much eating a bit of your own medicine. And I'm just spitballing.
Zarkon also made a blatant Wizard of Oz reference in the old
there
version.
There were a lot of things that were weird and not great about the old series.
Yeah, that's true. That is very
but
true.
But I have a special place pulling
heart,
a grenade and rushing Zarkon. Like, the old series is nuts, y'all.
It was very entertaining.
It was.
But I'm just saying that even though it's kind of silly in its execution, interesting story beats to pull from them.
Definitely is.
We are in the last few minutes of the show, so we kind of need to swing into wrap up. For now, I want to talk to you guys very, very quickly about iTunes. Thank you to everyone who has gone on to iTunes, who has subscribed to our podcast, who has rated it plus 5 stars, who has left us a comment. When you do that, the producers do take a look at those reviews and they say, hey, people like this show about giant robots. We should keep it on, and that's how we continue to stay on the air as an after show, and provided that there is a season 3, maybe, if we get high enough reviews, if the producers like us, if you guys like us, that's how we get to stay on as a show. Additionally, when you leave reviews, when you leave high ratings, it helps our rankings in iTunes podcast as a whole, so when you search Voltron, we show up near the top and more people listen. And when you leave a review, you get a shout out on the show. We have like a dozen new reviews, and we do not have the time to read them all specifically, but we love you all.
Yeah, as I say, I think there are 12. Somebody count. All right, so these are all 5 stars. So, Tololu, Podcast Rob, Delia M. Begay, Rathian Knight, Sassy Kale, Kibbs, Lily Tora, Alan Times, Alan X. Shibby, I don't know, Voltron Dash Diaries, Vire 22, and Plays with Worms.
11. Thanks, guys. You're magical human beings.
Yes, thank you so much.
Real heroes.
Yes, and sorry if I mispronounced any of your names. And many of those reviews say things like, it's so great to sit around and watch adults talk about cartoons for an hour, and also encourages other users to leave iTunes reviews.
Yay!
We love you all in your own special individual ways.
Seriously,
you guys are great. Thank you. Couple things to keep in mind for that. When you leave a review, it takes a couple days to post, so if you leave it on Wednesday, we're not going to see it on Thursday. If you are in an iTunes store that is not the American iTunes store, or if you are in the podcast section of Google Play and you leave a review, please screen cap it, please put it on Twitter in the hashtag ABTVVoltron. We do see those, we do love those, but they're really hard to hunt down in iTunes stores that aren't the American one, because there's a lot of them, y'all. But yes, we love you. We should move on to predictions.
Real quick.
Although I think we kind of...
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
We kind of did a little bit. We kind of covered, I was like, who is that mysterious masked figure is kind of where I'm going with that.
Yeah, same.
Sure.
Because we don't have answers
awesome
for that.
Awesome Lady Gaara going on a road trip.
So excited.
I'm with Megan. Done.
She's going to the space join mall. This mythical grassroots... not intervention.
Call resistance.
Yeah. That I have been building in my mind for episodes upon episodes. Yeah. So this is what I want with my life, is this mysterious figure to show up with Skulltrite right when they need it.
Perfect.
Yeah, and also cooking videos from
cooking videos.
To be fair, I feel like we can probably assume she's not a member of the Blade of Mamora, because I feel like at some point she would have pulled out a blade.
Agreed. Totally agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we will have to see for that one, because that's the loose end that we haven't seen. Mythical season 3. Mitch, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Woo! So are there any projects that you're working on that you can tell us about? This is your plug time. Go fight, win.
I sold a movie.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. To Mount Hollywood Films. It was, a SWAT team fights zombies. That's the short term
nice.
Version
Love
of
it.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Totally. Take my viewership.
It has a female lead in it, and that's kind of what attracted this group, because they look for things with female leads and female directors.
That's nice. Awesome.
I am not a female writer, obviously, but...
Right.
Luckily, my story had a female lead in it, and that all worked out great.
Yeah, I officially need this in my life. Can you tell us what it's called so we know to look for it?
The press release, they had it titled as Texas Ranger Z Unit, which I was like, oh, okay, that's
right.
Yeah. But I
had watched that show.
Dope.
Yeah, I had it titled as Deep in the Heart Of, because it takes place in Texas.
Nice.
Nice.
Oh. Nice.
All right.
It also is modeled after Heart of Darkness.
Oh.
Congratulations. Aww. That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
I hate that book, but I'm sure your script is wonderful.
Thank you.
Gotta get me straight.
Well, thanks again for joining us. You are welcome back anytime. This was a blast.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Where can the people go if they want to follow you and keep up with your projects?
I have a Twitter. I think it's @Mitch_Iverson. I honestly should know that. I'm sorry.
It's all good.
There's not a question mark, even though I said it with a question mark.
And also, everyone should pick up the Voltron comic. The trade paperback is out now. Go support your local comic store.
Do it.
Emma, where can the people find you?
At my name, Emma Fife, EMMAFYFFE. That is all F's as in Frank.
You can find me on all of your social media at atores890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on all of the social medias and YouTube at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. Star Wars Rebels is back this Sunday, but I will not be there because if you're in the L.A. area, I will be at Gallifrey 1 this weekend, the local Doctor Who con. So find me, say hi, get an AfterBuzz ribbon. We do have those. It's wonderful. Thanks again for joining us. Thanks to all of you who have been watching and commenting and leaving reviews. You are wonderful, and we adore you all. And we will see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Yep.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.